Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Coming up after 11 today, 27 million people taken offline to find one man, find out about an extraordinary manhunt in India. Rising interest rates, falling mortgage approvals, what does the upheaval in the banking sector mean for you? At 11:30 we're going to get a sneak preview of Callan's Kicks, and after a fractious week in politics and a Green TD overboard, we'll talk about that and the other big stories of the week with the Friday gathering. I should also let you know that we are keeping a close eye on the Court of Appeal this morning, where a verdict in the Graham Dwyer case is expected, but that may come to us at any moment, and when it does, we'll bring it straight to you. You can text us 51551. Now though, irritable bowel syndrome is a common condition that affects the digestive system. It causes symptoms like stomach cramps, bloating, diarrhea and constipation. It can be very frustrating to live with and have a big impact on your everyday life, and it's a condition that disproportionately affects women. Well, while it can be a lifelong condition, there is no known cure. Dr. Humphrey O'Connor is with me now on the line to talk us through what can be done to identify and manage it. Good morning, Humphrey.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
No problem. You
describe this, though, as a biopsychosocial disorder. So as we can tell from that, there are a number of different parts of the mind and body involved.
Yeah, I think that just if you picture normal for a second, Claire, for the gut to work normally, you eat food. Once it's gone past the valve at the upper end of the gullet, it's gone. You don't hear it, feel it, or see it. And the whole process of digestion from top to bottom should be you should be completely unaware of it. To make that happen, you've got a nervous system within the gut called the enteric nervous system. And that is in constant contact with the central nervous system, the brain and the spinal cord. And that continuous talk between the two systems is what keeps the gut absolutely happy and quiet. There are thousands of people around the country who would love to have that. And instead, that connection between the two systems is upset for some reason, and they end up getting a collection of symptoms, including recurring abdominal pain, as you mentioned earlier, irregular bowel habit, wind, noise, incomplete rectal emptying, and symptoms remote from the gut as well. And they're quite, as you mentioned, quality of life, work productivity, etc., is diminished.
Mm-hmm. So it's a very difficult condition for people.
It is. And as we understand it, again, you have lots of symptoms, but tests and so on are normal. You might say, how do you diagnose it? It's basically symptom-based. Just what I said to you, if you have recurring abdominal pain related to bowel habit ongoing for at least 6 months with other symptoms like wind, bloating, etc., and a number of basic tests are normal, you would accept that as being irritable bowel syndrome. Commonest, as you mentioned, in younger women between the age of 20 and 40. If you were to do tests, I mean, what would you do? There are four simple blood tests. A blood test to check your blood count, to make sure you're not anemic. A blood test called CRP, which is a blood test that measures inflammation. A blood test for celiac disease, which is very important. Celiac disease and irritable bowel syndrome can mimic each other, and it's very important not to miss celiac disease.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, another C, calprotectin. Not difficult now. Calprotectin is produced by white blood cells. And if you have inflammation in your colon and your bowel, you get billions of white cells in the wall of the bowel that release this calprotectin into the bowel motion. And the measurement of calprotectin in bowel motion can tell you whether you've got an inflammation or not. So you have the typical symptoms. All those tests are normal. And that would be accepted by any standard as equating to irritable bowel syndrome.
Can I ask you about anxiety around going to the bathroom, to put it frankly, for people?
Oh, yeah.
Because that can be a huge issue, whether it's dealing with constipation or with diarrhea. Could we be inflicting this IBS condition on ourselves if we're overthinking things and worried and anxious about that?
I would agree with you, Claire, that it's a two-way, it works both ways. It's a, as I say, bi-directional. I mean, again, we tend to divide irritable bowel syndrome into different categories. IBS constipation, IBS diarrhea, IBS mixed. In other words, what is the dominant disturbance in bowel habit? If you take the diarrhea people, their biggest fear is leaving the house, knowing where the next toilet is, and the fear, very real fear, of fecal incontinence. It is said that up to a third of people with IBS diarrhea will have an accident sometime, and that's extremely distressing, which in itself creates, if that doesn't cause anxiety, I don't know what causes anxiety.
Yes, of course.
But if you take the constipated variety, I mean, equally, toileting can be difficult because in many of those patients, because of this hypersensitivity in the nerve endings in the wall of the rectum, they feel as if the rectum is never empty. So they're sitting in the toilet forever trying to finish. I don't mean to be graphic or gross about it, but these are some of the key issues that impair people's ability to live properly.
What it is. I mean, I know you're apologising for being graphic, but, you know, we need to discuss it because it affects so many people. And can you address that question for us, Humphrey, the statistic around why it affects so many more women than men? Do we know why?
Not really, Claire. I mean, there have been ideas. I'll give you two. One, don't slam down the phone when I say this, that the brain in women is different to the brain in men. In terms of its response to visceral stimuli and what's described as pain modulation. In other words, at brain level, the response might be more hypervigilance, more anxiety. But equally, if you take the lifestyle of women, as they go through life, early in life, psychosocial events, psychosocial pressures. And again, not to dwell on it, but if you go to the tough end of irritable bowel syndrome, quite a few patients will describe childhood abuse that is unresolved. And the differences between men and women, it's not one thing. There are a number of things that coalesce together, but it's real. Mm-hmm. I mean, in any series of papers published on the subject, 7 to 8 out of 10 will be female. Also, women would be overrepresented at the tough end of irritable bowel syndrome. If you were to take 100 IBS patients there, 20 will get better spontaneously. 40-50% will stay the same pretty much, grumbling on a little bit. Another 20% will get worse. And they're the group where you exhibit treatments that are sometimes a bit tricky and difficult, but That's if you like, the natural history of it.
Okay.
So women are front and centre.
Can you talk to me a little bit about the treatments? Because I know that you're someone who does believe that probiotics can work if they're used properly.
That's one aspect to it. I mean, the bacteria that are in our gut, the microbiome, an awful lot of work has focused on, well, the microbiome is great for our essential for our health. And maybe a bad microbiome is what leads to things like irritable bowel syndrome. So let's improve the microbiome by taking probiotics, which are live microorganisms. If you take a global look at the 50 or more clinical trials that have been done of probiotics and IBS, there is the suggestion that that the global symptom severity is improved, but no more than that. I mean, at the moment, and any of the learned societies or journals say they cannot give a dogmatic answer as to which probiotic formulation, how long, and the same would apply. This is, I suppose, comes again, Claire, to diet. I mean, if you look at what do patients want, there was a study recently from the Netherlands, and about half the patients with IBS, they want a dietary treatment. In other words, change my diet, take away the trigger factors, and I'll be better. A quarter wanted tablet treatment. A quarter were accepting of psychotherapies. So We haven't got the answer for all of it, in all honesty.
Well, Humphrey, thank you very much for talking us through all of that this morning. That's Professor Humphrey O'Connor. Now, we're going to have more on that news on the Annie McCarrick case. Barry Cummins will be joining us after the break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.